Tragically, addiction to alcohol and drugs can ruin that. So, if drugs and alcohol are a problem in your life or the life of someone you care about, then isn't it time to make a change? The Watershed Addiction Treatment Programs have been offering life-changing results since 1998. The Watershed has successfully treated and helped over 50,000 people get their lives back. So if you're ready to make your change and be free from addiction to alcohol and drugs, then it is time for you to make a change. The Watershed knows how to help you recover and promises to help you begin your change. Your new life can begin right now with just one simple text on your mobile phone. Text the word RECOVER to 474747. That's the word RECOVER to 474747. And a caring Watershed treatment professional will help you make your change. Do it now. Just text the word RECOVER to 474747 or visit us at thewatershed.com.
The Trump administration's rolling back vehicle fuel efficiency standards. As USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes reports,
the head of the Environmental Protection Administration, Scott Pruitt, defending the rollback of the Obama-era rules on vehicle fuel efficiency, calling it,
"This is another step in the president's regulatory agenda, deregulatory agenda."
The prior administration was trying to push average fuel efficiency to over 50 miles a gallon by 2025, but Pruitt, speaking at the EPA on Tuesday morning, called the standards unrealistic, unnecessary, and not cost-effective, and he argued that rolling back those rules will help grow jobs in the U.S. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Economist and central banker John Williams will serve as the next president of the Federal Reserve Bank in New York, the bank announced today, taking on the key role of overseeing Wall Street and setting monetary policy for the country. Williams will replace outgoing President William Dudley, who is retiring in June. For USA Radio News, my name is Tim Berg.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help right now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Are drug and alcohol problems hitting you too close to home? Get help right now. Insurance may cover everything. 866-490-3991. 866-490-3991. That's 866-490-3991.
Recapping our top story this hour, President Trump moments ago talked at the White House. Among the things he discussed was NAFTA and why it's not a good deal for the United States.
NAFTA's been fantastic for Mexico, bad for us. We've had our car plants move to Mexico, many of them. We make tremendous numbers, millions of cars in Mexico that years ago didn't exist. They closed in Michigan, they closed in Ohio, they closed in other places. Now they're starting to move back. Because of what we've done with regulation and with taxes, they're starting to come back into our country in a big way.
A Democratic member of Congress announces she will not seek re-election. USA Radio Network's Washington correspondent Chris Barnes reports.
Connecticut's Elizabeth Esty announcing that she's not going to seek re-election after she came under fire recently for her handling of sexual harassment allegations against her former chief of staff. Esty allowed that chief of staff to stay on the job despite accusations against him. In a Facebook post, she admits that she, quote, could have and should have done better about what she called a terrible situation in her office. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The judge in Bill Cosby's sexual assault retrial gave his legal defense a huge boost today, ruling his lawyers can call witnesses who say the accuser talked about framing the celebrity before she went to police in 2005. For all of these stories and more, please remember, check out USARadio.com. For USA Radio News, my name is Tim Berg.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Hoo-ah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciates you joining us this fine day in America. Here's what we have for you this hour. Intelligence expert Kurt Anderson will discuss the challenges facing America. Then we'll review the movie of the month, Admissions. And, of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our Armed America report. Troops, I really welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. I'm pleased to welcome to the show a retired Air Force Lieutenant Colonel who served in both the CIA and the DIA, that's the Defense Intelligence Agency. His expertise includes both the Middle East and Asia and a few other places too. And everybody listening in to this show knows that retired Lieutenant Colonels are wonderful people. So welcome to Frontlines of Freedom, Eric, another wonderful guy.
Thank you, Dave. You know, the modesty is really forthcoming here.
Well, I'm humble and proud of it, Eric. Eric, talk about your military career. You joined the Air Force. Why'd you join? What'd you do? How long did you serve?
I truly am a military brat. My father was a Department of Defense school teacher. And so I grew up in Europe back when we had large facilities sitting there. And I then disappeared off into academia. And I spent 10 years sort of meandering the hallways of various universities. Got done and started teaching and realized I didn't want to sit in a classroom for the rest of my life. So the Air Force came calling. I know how to pick a golf course, and the Army doesn't have good golf courses.
You got that right.
I went with the Air Force. And so landed up with the Air Force, and it was Korea, Saudi Arabia, Japan, Korea. Then I landed up at the Air Force Academy, and the Pacific Command hired me to be their senior analyst for North Korea and then for China. So I went from the active duty side to the reserve and then spent the last 15 years of my career doing both the reserve end of it and working for Uncle Sam in the spook industry, which is always an amusing place to be.
I believe you there. You know, Korea, you're certainly sort of timely on Korea right now. You know, this is a little gross, but when I was in the Army, everybody told me the most feared disease in the Army was gonorrhea. Anyway.
Now, you know, I really enjoyed Korea. The Koreans adopted me. As it turns out, I spoke German, and the Korean vocabulary and their grammar structure is exactly the same as German. So the tense comes at the end of the sentence, and once you figure that out, it was a bit of memorization, and you were in. And the Koreans treated me quite well. I was a little surprised Kim Jong-un showing up in Beijing. I suspect this is sort of a continuation of the traditional relationship. Whenever the Chinese or the Koreans are about to do something dramatic, one or the other shows up in their neighbor's country to have a conversation and to ensure that they're not going to step on toes. And in this case, Kim Jong-un going to see Donald Trump, wherever they decide to take this, will be an incident that will make Beijing very uncomfortable. So I think that this was the entire conversation was intended to reassure the North Koreans' primary benefactor that they would be kept in the loop, that they would not do anything foolish, and that the North Koreans were going to behave themselves. It'd be interesting to see how the president gets along with Kim Jong-un when they actually meet.
It certainly will be. I am glad our president is going to meet with him so that he can say he's done everything possible. But I can't imagine that North Korea would agree to anything that would equate to a denuclearization of North Korea.
Well, if I was the North Koreans, I would point to two incidences that would suggest that denuclearizing is a bad idea. One would be Saddam Hussein, and the other would be Muammar Gaddafi. I think that the North Koreans took that lesson to heart, and they are in no mood to give away their nuclear systems. They may be more willing to discuss the ranges on the missiles that they're testing and potentially an option for inspections, but I could never see the North Koreans giving away their nuclear systems.
Well, I don't see them doing it either, simply because as long as China stands behind them, they're practically invulnerable because I don't see us wanting to take on China. Is that too general a statement?
Yeah, what I've suggested in the past, and I've done this in the policy circles, is that instead of our becoming involved in manhandling the North Koreans, and I mean that politely, but instead of us doing it, let the Chinese do it. The Chinese are already familiar with handling nuclear systems, used to nuclear weapons. We don't worry about them, quite frankly, when it comes to the nuclear front. They're more worrisome on a colonial basis, if you will, particularly with what they're doing in the Spratly Islands. And so let the Chinese have it. It's their problem. Then they won't have this disgruntlement over the potential for our troops sitting on their border. And that's what has always been the sort of the standoff between we and Beijing on how we go forward with this. And I think the North Koreans understand that that's the situation, that if they really misbehave, the Chinese will be invited in and we will stand by and watch. They are poorly poised to handle the Chinese coming across that northern border.
That I'm quite sure. This is Colonel Denny Gilliman, Frontlines of Freedom, and we're discussing threats to America with Kurt Anderson. I have been of the opinion that if we want to get serious and we can't find another way to do it, what we should do is offer nuclear weapons to Japan and South Korea and maybe Taiwan. And that would push China over the edge into dealing with North Korea because they don't want those kind of countries near them with nukes. Is that scatterbrained or is there some wisdom in that?
You know, we shut down the Taiwanese nuclear program under the Carter administration. We did the same thing to the South Koreans in the late 1960s. And the Japanese really have demonstrated a complete reluctance to ever engage in developing a nuclear capability. So I can't see that being a means forward in trying to balance out the power distribution in Northeast Asia. The interesting equation there, to take your line of argument, is that the distribution of the THAAD system, the air defense systems that we're pushing out into the field, has really disquieted the Chinese because they now suddenly see their ballistic programs being rendered obsolete, particularly if we hand them out to the Taiwanese. And so this is sort of the balance changer, is how much of a missile defense program, air defense program, can we sell to those three nations and then push? And I think that will cause the Chinese to actually take a much tighter grip on where Pyongyang would like to go in the future.
That makes sense. Given the fact that China is doing pretty well economically and growing their military, not hugely, but certainly growing and modernizing it, what's China's potential? Where are they headed? Besides, obviously, Spratly Islands, I call them in empire growth mode. They're looking to add more turf to their property, whatever you want to call it.
You know, I would agree with you. I mean, the Chinese, in some senses, look like Germany in the 1930s when Adolf Hitler talked about Lebensraum, living room.
Yes.
And so they, you know, there's this expansion that is taking place primarily because of the economic benefits. If the Chinese take the Spratlys, they get the fishing rights that go with it. You extend your exclusive economic zone. And so this is where you have the Chinese shoving forward and pushing the buttons with their neighbors. The neighbors have been reluctant to push back, with the exception of the Vietnamese, and we know that the Chinese and the Vietnamese don't get along. You know, they did go to war in 1979. And so you have this back-and-forth shove. But China is now the world's second-largest economy and is in the position to demand more respect than what we have. In fact, I have to somewhat chuckle when I watch the newspaper headlines concerning Mr. Putin's behavior in Europe in his decision to nerve gas the two members of the counterespionage family. I can't remember the name right now. I'm sorry. You know, those two folks, by the way, if your listeners aren't aware, are brain dead. They've got them on life support, and that's the only reason that we're still having a conversation with them in the present tense. They nerve gassed them and killed them. The Brits have been nice enough to keep them hospitalized and keep that rolling. But, you know, Mr. Putin is in really no position to raise a finger against the Chinese, certainly to compete with them economically, or to do anything other than to argue with them on sort of where the direction of governance in our close future is going to go.
Well, I agree with you totally. And we will continue that conversation when we come back. This is Colonel Denny Gilliman on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops hit the deck right now and rest. The starting position for the push-up is called the front-leaning rest. So get into the front-leaning rest position and think patriotic thoughts and stay there until Kurt and I come back. We want you lean and mean.
If you're a small business, first impressions can make all the difference. With Grasshopper, you get all the features of a professional business phone system on your mobile phone. Choose a business phone number, make calls, and send texts. Stay connected and work from anywhere with features like Wi-Fi calling and our desktop app. Set up your account in minutes with no long-term contracts and 24/7 customer support. Make your small business big. Now get $20 off your first month when you visit grasshopper.com/radio. That's grasshopper.com/radio.
At highway speeds, the average text takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds. That's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Stop texts, stoprex.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I want to share about an incredible program available for our veterans across America who are suffering from PTS and traumatic brain injury. It's called After the Impact, and it serves our veterans and NFL football players. You know, it all started at the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and is now expanded to a new facility in Jacksonville, Florida. After the Impact provides real treatment and healing in a transitional residential setting. See more about their facilities for veterans and players at EisenhowerCenter.com.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel with your home defense tip of the week. According to the FBI, 85% of altercations don't rise to the level of deadly force. Make sure you have some open-handed self-defense skills or pepper gel to ward off these less-than-lethal attacks. Always have a plan to repel non-lethal attackers and make sure you are in compliance with all self-defense laws in your jurisdiction. This is just one way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit HomeDefenseShow.com.
This report is brought to you by Odor Eaters. Odor Eaters is back with their fun yet stinky annual Rotten Sneaker Contest. All participants at this national contest are raising a stink by showing off their foul-smelling sneakers at the annual event. Children from across the country competed at this year's contest, hosted at Ripley's Believe It or Not, for a chance to win the national title and $2,500. But only one lucky pair of Rotten Sneakers could be crowned the winner, and they belong to Hunter Ham from Eagle River, Alaska. And while scientists thought that the human nose could only detect about 10,000 different smells, they recently discovered that this number increased to 1 trillion, making it possible for our judges to find yet a new foul scent on every sniff. Rachel Hirsch, PhD and expert of smell.
This year's participants really moved the bar up even higher. We all know kids are known for getting into some stinky messes, but these kids have a talent.
For more, visit odoreaters.com.
Are you in business, not a member of the chamber? Come to the Huntington County Chamber Expo to see what it's all about and meet other business owners. Enjoy the restaurant showcase and enter to win the door prize just for business entries. The Chamber offers special benefits for new memberships during the Expo. So join us at Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington on Thursday, November 9th from 2 to 7 p.m. Don't miss it.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Huntington County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Huntington Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillen. Thanks for joining us today on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with intelligence expert Eric Anderson about threats to America. We were talking Russia. Eric, as I talked on my comments by the Colonel earlier in the show, I think Russia is going to be pushing external threats, threatening things. Glad that England is making noises at them, because that's what dictators do. If they can keep a focus on the external, they can do whatever they want to internally. Does that make sense to you?
It does, but, you know, with the Russians, you have sort of a unique social phenomena taking place. And to some degree, the same thing is true with the Chinese, in that you have a population that looks for stability coming from the front office, unlike apparently what Americans desire these days, because we're certainly not seeing it right now. But with the Russians, they like the fact that Mr. Putin demonstrates strength. They like the fact that he is emphasizing Russian nationalism. And this is, by the way, not a phenomenon unique to the Russians. We're watching it happen in Italy. We saw it happen with the rise of Marine Le Pen in France. We're seeing somewhat of a similar challenge for Angela Merkel in Germany. And the Brits, of course, we know, decided to leave the EU, which was a truly nationalistic approach to taking things. And so you have this sort of rise of authoritarianism that's transpiring across the globe. We certainly now have seen it with the Chinese in the fact that they've altered their constitution and now Xi can stay for as long as he pleases. And you wonder if the Russians are going to do the same thing, because Mr. Putin has never identified a successor. To say what you will of Mr. Medvedev, his now prime minister, he's never been the guy that people looked at and said, yes, he's the next strongman that's coming forward. And I think we are, to some senses, seeing the same sort of attitude start to arise within the United States. There's a concern for your listeners who are watching the latest book cycles. There's now a text out called How Democracies Die. It's a pair of Harvard professors who are contending that our own penchant for bringing in somebody who is much more authoritative. I certainly wouldn't call Mr. Trump an authoritarian, but much more authoritative, that you're seeing the same desire for stability arise within our country. So it makes for an interesting conversation.
Yeah, that is an interesting approach, and it is something that everybody in democracies has got to be certainly aware of. So Russia's going to be fun. China, we've discussed. You and I have both spent some time in the Middle East. What's the big challenge there? I presume it's Iran.
Oh, you know, if I was going to pick the next challenge in the Middle East, it would be the rise of the new crown prince in Saudi Arabia.
Ah, yes, it certainly, we do have a new one, and he's certainly different than the old
guard. Yeah, MBS, as he goes by, is a man who is going to challenge not only, as we've seen with the arrests of oligarchs that were sitting in Saudi Arabia and their imprisonment within the hotel, and then the fines that were imposed, and if I'm to believe the press reporting, the fines totaled up to the billions of dollars, that he is willing to take on all takers. And the challenge there will be the argument between the Saudis and his rise to power and what's happening within Tehran. And the Iranians are clearly pushing through. You know, we used to talk about this in the Middle East. We were going to have the Shia arc of tyranny that would run from Iran through Baghdad into Syria and then to Lebanon. We are far closer to realizing that today than I think most people can believe. The thing that's interesting to watch in this entire equation, if you wanted to bring in the rogue actor, is what Mr. Erdogan is doing in Turkey. And the fact that he has been willing to invade Syria and that he's willing to take on the Kurds baldly in front of us, and certainly even with the Russians involved in the process, I suspect that Mr. Erdogan has visions of a renewed Ottoman Empire. And so there's your sort of rogue player that is not making the press coverage and not getting the commentary that I think is necessary to understand just how dynamic the environment is within the Middle East.
Yeah, whatever you want to say about the Middle East, stable it's not, and it sure isn't moving that way. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom, and we're discussing threats to America with former CIA and DIA intelligence expert Eric Anderson. So, Eric, as we start wrapping up, what can we as citizens do about these threats? How do we respond? What can we do? What should we be doing?
The conversation has to take place not within the State Department, but with the congressional representations. And it's an outreach process that requires, as much as I hate to tell you this, the congressional delegations that go abroad actually bring attention to the fact that you have a democracy that's standing in front of your leadership and pushing back on what they're trying to accomplish. And your average citizen has the ability to influence that process by getting hold of your congressional office, getting hold of your Senate office, certainly pushing back on even going on to the op-ed pages and writing a letter to the editor that says, here's how we want to influence the conversation that's taking place and what we would like to influence. And this is one that the average American should really take to heart, and certainly any member of the U.S. service or former member of the U.S. service should take to heart. That pledge to support and defend the Constitution means you're there to support and defend democracy. And the only way you can do that is to get your representative to go forward and cause pressure on the countries where we're seeing this transition to something different.
I totally agree. This is our country, and no more than you can have a new car and never take care of it and expect it to keep running. If we as citizens don't take care of it by talking to our congressional leaders and knowing what's going on and holding them accountable, we're going to ruin the vehicle, and the vehicle is our country.
Well, I tell people, you know, those guys and gals who are in Congress, they put on their pants and their skirts one leg at a time, just like you and I. And there is no reason you can't reach out and push their buttons. None whatsoever.
Amen, brother. Eric, we didn't get to talk about ISIS, but I know you have just written a trilogy about ISIS. Talk about those books.
I put together a sequence of it, and I think readers enjoy this. And it's just a really quick one for you, Denny. So here's something for everybody to think about. It took the Romans 600 years to create the empire that we see on maps today. It took Christianity 1,000 years to reach the expanse that we look at today. It took Muhammad in the Muslim empire that followed 150 years to accomplish the same objective. And what we have in the form of ISIS is a reemergence of a philosophy. I won't call it good, bad, or evil. I don't make that judgment statement. But it's a philosophy that clearly appeals to people, that gets their attention, that causes them to go to action. And what the books do is march you from, here's the first, in Osiris, what I do is I take you through the episode that will get our attention in the United States. The next book, Anubis, looks at, here's how it is a cancer, if you will. It's not that you have to own territory, but rather that you can occupy minds, and you can get people to do things, as we see with these constant episodic events. You can get the mind to work in your favor, and you'll get people to proclaim the actions in the name of ISIS. And then the third, Horus, takes us to, now we go back, only this time we don't go to Spain, we go to France. And there are 5 million Muslim immigrants living around the city of Paris. It's a dark vision of the future if you are worried about where does this spread of potential violence and Muslim extremism go. But by the same token, a vision of the future that says, here's other things we need to think about and where we should be concerned with our futures.
Makes sense to me. And by the way, folks, we're going to give away a copy of Eric's first book, Osiris, at the end of the show. So stick around for that. And Eric, I presume your books are available lots of places, Amazon and other places, right?
Yes, you can find me on Amazon and at, I can't remember the name right now. My publisher is Dunn Books, that's D-U-N-N, books.com, and I can't recommend highly enough the direction that he is going with this publishing line.
And while I haven't read the book yet, I'm getting ready to. I recommend it because his topic is right on. Eric, thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for your service to our nation back then, and thank you for what you're doing now. We need to stay in touch, friend.
Will do, Dave. Thank you. Have a good day.
Coming up next on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll review the movie of the month, Admissions, with Diane Raver, and then we're going to open our weekly mailbag. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, do 150 jumping jacks, take a break and do 50 more, then stand at ease, but do stay in the area.
Mike Hewlett here. Stop the press. Well, those were the few honest journalists. For years, I've been saying you can tell who they are and what they're trying to do by the names they call you and the accusations they make against you. But now, can you believe it? Progressives have finally revealed themselves. Surprised? Me too. After decades of their relentless chants, "We don't want to take your guns, we just want gun control," they now directly call for a repeal of the Second Amendment. What's next? No need to wait. The census is coming. Don't you dare ask for citizenship, and we demand you count everyone. What's at stake isn't political correctness, oh no. This is about congressional representation. You're likely thinking they wouldn't dare use illegal aliens to garner more seats in Congress, but you already know the answer to that question, don't you? Get beyond the obvious at themikehewittshow.com.
You have
USA Radio News.
We are going to be doing some things. I've been speaking with General Mattis. We're going to be doing things militarily. Until we can have a wall and proper security, we're going to be guarding our border with the military. That's a big step. We really haven't done that before, or certainly not very much before.
President Donald Trump earlier today at the White House. Now, the president's comments appear to take aim at current U.S. policy, which requires border agents to catch and then release family units who arrive at the border from countries that do not touch the United States. The national average price for a gallon of regular gasoline rose by 4 cents a gallon last week to an average of $2.66. That's according to Gas Buddy. The price rose by more than 12 cents a gallon over the last month and nearly 33 cents a gallon over the past year. Oil analysts are saying the prices are high due to scheduled maintenance on rigs, along with the switch from the winter to summer grade fuel. This is USA Radio News.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-561-5716. That's 800-561-5716. Again, 800-561-5716.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce. Building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. I really do welcome your comments and questions. E-contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or comment on Facebook. A Frontlines of Freedom salute to one of our show's great sponsors, Honor and Remember, and their national sponsor, Spartan Nash. If you know someone who died while serving our nation, contact Honor and Remember so they can be honored. Honorandremember.org. Now it's Movie of the Month time. Joining me is our movie master, Diane Raver, who founded the Garden State Film Festival, an event that just ended a couple of days ago. Welcome back to the show, Diane. Have you recovered from the festival yet?
Well, thank you, Denny. Well, I'm slowly recovering. It was a sold-out event all over town, and I'm very tired but very happy.
I believe it. I'm sure it was a great event. I have convinced myself that I won't miss it again. It's on my calendar for next year.
Well, terrific.
Take a second, since it's so recent, and review the festival. Listeners may want to consider attending next year when I go.
Well, that would be a great honor and privilege to have any of them with us. And, of course, all you military folk, we do have a military discount. And we certainly hope to see you. It's a four-day event. We showed this year 246 films over 4 days from 22 countries.
And it's all in New Jersey. This is the Garden State Film Festival in the state.
Asbury Park, New Jersey.
And you'll be able to stay in touch because Diane will be on every month, just like she is now, reviewing a movie. Okay, it's time to get started. The movie for March was Admissions. Let's do the review. The message was clearly having to do with tolerance. The absence of hell is sort of contrary to Christian theology and that of other faiths. But that alone is controversial, which is good, because the goal was to get people thinking, not to pass on something that everybody's supposed to memorize. What are your thoughts about Admissions, Diane?
Well, of course, it's one of my favorite films we've ever presented at the Garden State Film Festival, mostly because it accents the concept that love is so important and that it transcends all religions, all cultures, all colors, all shapes, sizes, and whatever, and that really our humanity is based on the concept that we were begotten out of love and continue, that love is so important in all of our lives, no matter what your belief system is.
And if you add to that the need to forgive.
Well, that's exactly right.
You know, as a kid growing up, I was really glad my parents knew how to forgive because I did some pretty dumb things. And so that's sort of a concept.
Didn't we all?
But in this movie, we're talking about people being murdered and having their families killed and forgiving. Well,
it also the thing that I hope everyone did was watch the credits. And at the credits, it says, you know, we've always had a Department of War. But from the beginning, there was a movement to establish a Department of Peace because we seem to know what to do in times of war, but we don't seem to know what to do in times of peace. So, I mean, there's a conversation worth having as well.
Well, it certainly is a conversation, which is why, of course, we selected this to be one of the movies that we'd review. It's not simple. It requires thinking. It can challenge you in different ways. And how you come out of this, I don't care, as long as we give it some serious thought. And I agree with Diane. We did get a number of comments, which I'll share. Well, now's a good time. This is Colonel Denny Gilliam on Frontlines of Freedom, and we're reviewing the movie Admissions with Diane Raver from the Garden State Film Festival. Well, here's a comment. Love the simplicity of the setting. Well, have to agree with that. A very, very simple setting. Almost nothing there to see. White desks and stuff. The message of forgiveness is relative to our climate. Not sure what that means, but it certainly might be relative to our culture. My culture thinks everything you do is bad, or I don't know. But, hey, the idea was to think. Pretty controversial, but educated, enlightened, and non-prejudiced people could have a good conversation about it. Well, that was sort of the idea, wasn't it? To help people get through their prejudices and talk about things? That's one of the things you like, isn't it, Diane?
Absolutely. And again, James Cromwell, who's, of course, an award-winning actor, did a marvelous job. And the simplicity of it really does add to the message, I feel. Again, it was a short film meant to have a message of tolerance and love and hope, really. That was what I got out of it, was that there is hope, that we can realize that human beings are all human beings and, you know, that there's value in all. But, of course, politics get in the way, as we all know. So, you know, it is food for thought, and that was why I thought it was such a great example for us to review.
Well, you mentioned politics, and you may or may not know I teach political science, and I've defined politics. Poly means many. Ticks are blood-sucking insects. So maybe there's a fit for that. I don't know.
Yeah.
One listener did not like it when Cromwell said, "Thank God," when the man prayed to Allah. I guess you're welcome to think anything you want, but in the bigger sense, that's the same person. Coptic Christians, who are Christians living in basically Egypt, they pray to Allah because that's what God is called in their culture. I guess this is one more thing of cultures mixing, right?
Right. See, this is why this is such an interesting series we're doing, Denny, is because I'm hearing feedback on things that I've never heard when screening the film, and I've screened it all over the state of New Jersey. But this is terrific, and yeah, it's my understanding that no matter what you call the deity, it would be the same entity in my spiritual journey. But again, I guess there's semantics in different cultures.
And there was one comment that I didn't quite catch, and maybe since you know the film better than I do, it said the Christian statement at the end did an injustice to the message of tolerance and understanding.
I don't get that. I would like that viewer to elaborate if possible. That would be interesting to understand why that comment was made, because I'm sorry, that goes right over me, and I've seen that film a lot of times.
Well, and there's nothing wrong with being a person of faith, of having values. Indeed, one of the things wrong with America today is the only bad thing is to have any values at all. And so if you have values and their values are based on your faith, that's fine. And if it challenges you or sets you to feel some way, that's okay.
I think it's terrific. It means that we're thinking about things. And that, to me, not just absorbing what the media is throwing at us, but actually using critical thinking is so important in this world.
Oh, amen, my friend. Another comment, the subject is relevant for today's society. Yep, agree with that. The small, intimate setting is ideal for the story. I like that. Good conversation starter. Well, it certainly is that, isn't it? That's the goal.
That was the goal. That's why I thought that was an important one for us, just to present near the beginning of this series so that people would understand that we're not trying to sell one point of view or the other, but rather start a conversation. And again, critical thinking and conversations are so important in our society.
It is indeed. Well, to sort of sum it up, in my opinion, the purpose of the movie was to challenge viewers to think, and we sure hope it did that. It couldn't cover everything. It suggested perhaps the majority of terrorists attacking Israel have family members injured by the Israelis. That's generally not true, but it is true in some cases. The children of the Arabic schools are taught to hate and kill all Jews. I know that's true. Knowing that challenged me as I watched admissions, but that doesn't change anything. There are still people involved, and regardless of how you were trained or how you grew up or what culture you grew up in, you're still a human being, and that's a key issue here, maybe the key issue. Does that agree?
I agree 100%, Danny.
So the movie for April is Beneath the Same Sky. It's, again, quite a short movie about military families being separated during deployments. You can either find the link on the blog at Frontlines of Freedom website or in our e-newsletter. Please watch it and send me your comments so we can include them in our review a month from now. Diane, thank you for taking time to join us and share with us today. And thank you for being a part of the Frontlines of Freedom team. I'm proud to have you, friend.
It's an honor and a privilege as always, Denny. Thank you so much.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You've reported for duty to Frontlines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Get a bench and some good weights. You should be able to do about 75 pounds by now. Do about 50 bench presses. I want you lean and mean. Then stand at ease. Spartan Nash holds a special place in its heart for Honor and Remember. As a national partner with Honor and Remember, Spartan Nash is deeply committed to never forgetting those who paid the ultimate price in service to our country.
The flag serves as a symbol of remembrance, and Spartan Nash flies the Honor and Remember flag at all of our facilities. The flag artwork is on our fleet of tractor trailers, which travel 50 million miles each year.
Learn more at honorandremember.org.
Sliding around in sock feet is a pretty common activity in a Fisher house. You see, every year, thousands of kids stay here to be close to a wounded mommy or daddy receiving care at a military or VA medical center. It's a place where they can feel at home when they're not, and where kisses and hugs are only minutes away instead of time zones, which, for a kid with a soldier as a parent, is an unfamiliar luxury. To learn more about the Fisher House Foundation and how you can help, go to fisherhouse.org today.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillen. This is the final formation for this week on Frontlines of Freedom. Okay, team, it's mailbag time. I welcome comments from you, our listeners. Do send your thoughts to me at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. Hey, Skip, what's the first one?
Well, Charlie from Oklahoma was surprised that our Supreme Court seemingly protects police officers from being second-guessed when they have to shoot someone. But they don't do that for soldiers. How can that be, he asked.
Charlie, that's a good question. That's the question. There are at least a dozen U.S. combat troops in military prison today for shooting at the enemy in combat. It's beyond crazy that everybody doesn't see how unrealistic and unfair that is. We have to ensure that Congress passes laws prohibiting it, and we also should ensure that only common sense realists get appointed to our Supreme Court. That's tough.
But Pete was very encouraged about the way your guest Shannon said the VA is improving. He's had only good support from the VA, but he knows a number of fellow vets who have not been well served.
Thanks for your comment, Pete. I, too, have been very well served by my local VA clinic. We clearly have a VA secretary who knows how to clean house, and Congress finally gave him the tools he needed to do the job about a year ago. But there's a lot of cleaning that still needs to be done. The job is far, far, far from over.
And here's a third one. Rick wrote, "Howdy, Colonel. Listening from beautiful downtown Alto, Michigan. Thank you very much for all you and your team do for us veterans. Drive on, sir. Rangers lead the way."
Hoo-wah. Thank you, Rick. Drive on, brother. Okay, Skip, let's do military history. Lead out, bro.
On 3 April 1776, because it lacked sufficient funds to build a strong navy, the Continental Congress gave privateers permission to attack any and all British ships. The Congress issued instructions to the commandeers of private ships or vessels of war, which shall have commissions of letters of marque and reprisal, authorizing them to make captures of British vessels and cargoes. Letters of marque and reprisal were the official documents by which 18th century governments commissioned private commercial ships, known as privateers, to act on their behalf, attacking ships carrying the flags of enemy nations. Any goods captured by the privateer were divided between the ship's owner and the government that had issued the letter. Congress informed American privateers on this day that you may, by force of arms, attack, subdue, and take all ships and other vessels belonging to the inhabitants of Great Britain on the high seas or between high water and low water marks, except ships and vessels bringing persons who intend to settle and reside in the United Colonies or bringing arms, ammunition, or warlike stores to the said colonies for the use of such inhabitants thereof as are friends to the American cause. The distinction between pirates and privateers was non-existent to those who faced them on the high seas. They behaved in an identical manner, boarding and capturing ships, using force if necessary. However, privateers holding letters of marque were not subject to prosecution by their home nation, and if captured, were treated as prisoners of war instead of criminals by foreign nations.
Sounds like a little confusing situation, but I guess what do you do if you don't have a navy?
Yeah.
On 6 April 1862, 2 days of bitter fighting began at the Civil War Battle of Shiloh as the Confederates attacked General Grant's Union forces in southwestern Tennessee. Union Commander General Ulysses Grant, planning to advance on an important railway junction at Corinth, Mississippi, met a surprise attack by General Albert Johnson's Army of Mississippi. The Confederates pushed the Federals back steadily during the first day's fighting, in spite of Johnson's death on that afternoon. Only with the arrival of Union reinforcements during the night did the tide turn, forcing the rebels to withdraw. The opposing sides slaughtered each other with such ferocity that one survivor wrote, quote, "No blaze of glory can ever atone for the unwritten and unutterable horrors of the scene." And General Grant, after the Battle of Shiloh, said, quote, "I saw an open field so covered with dead that it would have been possible to walk across in any direction, stepping on dead bodies without the foot touching the ground." Over 9,000 Americans died. The battle left some 24,000 casualties and secured the West for the Union.
You know, Colonel, I think the Civil War, out of all the wars that we fought, that's the most fascinating to me because it was brother against brother.
Literally.
American against America. And we just killed each other with so effectively and so massively.
Yes. Ouch.
On 3 April 1942, at the beginning of World War II, Japanese infantry staged a major offensive against Allied troops in Bataan, the peninsula guarding Manila Bay of the Philippine Islands. The invasion began in December 1941 and was led by General Hama, who had already forced General Douglas MacArthur's troops from Manila, the Philippine capital, into Bataan. By March, after MacArthur had left for Australia on President Roosevelt's orders and been replaced by Major General Edward King, the American Luzon Force and its Filipino allies were half-starved and suffering from malnutrition, malaria, dysentery, and hookworm. Hama, helped by reinforcements, took advantage of our weakened condition. The Japanese attack signaled the beginning of the end and, 6 days later, resulted in the surrender of the largest number of U.S. troops in military history.
That was a disaster, and it led to the Bataan Death March, which was even worse. Okay, that's military history for today. Skip, it's time for the Armed America Report. Lead out, bro.
All of us here at Frontlines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed in that order. We fully support the right to keep and bear arms for all law-abiding families, and we encourage you to find out about the laws governing use of deadly force in your state and follow them to the letter. And of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
One suspect was dead and at least one other was on the loose after a Christmas Eve home invasion in New Hanover County, North Carolina. The suspect entered the home around 2:30 a.m. Their movements awoke the homeowner, who retrieved a firearm and engaged the suspects in a gunfight. The homeowner killed a 31-year-old Hakeem Hanafa, causing the remaining two suspects to flee the scene. Hanover County Sheriff's Office spokesman Lieutenant Jerry Brewer described Hanafa as a validated gang member. Hanafa's criminal record indicates a guilty plea to charges of felon in possession of a firearm. He also was alleged to have punched a prison guard on Christmas Eve in 2000 because he was not happy with the amount of food he was given.
Should have gave him some sea rations.
Ooh, I like ham and lima beans, yeah.
Thanks, Colonel. Those of us in the military view combat differently than civilians because that's the way we were trained. Most combat for a soldier is approached from the perspective of a team. The reconnaissance unit goes out in advance and searches for the enemy. Then the officers get together and come up with a plan of attack, which includes such things as how to launch the ground assault and coordination of air and naval gunfire. The entire operation is highly coordinated and relies on teamwork. For the average homeowner, that's usually not true. For the most part, civilian combat is a one-person proposition. It's just you and the bad guys, and you don't know when they're going to attack. It's almost always an ambush. The homeowner is never the aggressor, and he's always responding to a violent action by the home invader. For the average civilian citizen, the criminal will always decide when and where the battle will be fought. This puts civilians at a distinct disadvantage. However, in the case of a home invasion, the civilian has the home turf advantage and can prepare his castle in a way that gives him a fighting chance, just as this homeowner did. Let's face it, taking on three gang members, invading your home, and engaging them in a firefight is not for the faint of heart. First, you need the right tools. You have the choice of shotgun, AR-15 rifle, or a pistol. All three have their strengths and weaknesses, but you get to choose. Second, you need to harden your home against crime. There is a book by Matt Canovey available on Amazon.com that can tell you how to do that. It's titled Real Secrets of Home and Personal Defense. Check it out. Third, the most important defense you have is courage and a stout heart. Without a warrior mindset and the willingness to put your life on the line to protect the ones you love, all the best fighting tools in the world will not help you. This man had the right knowledge, the right tools, and the heart of a lion. And all of us here at Frontlines of Freedom congratulate him on a job well done.
Indeed. Well, the movie assignment for next month is Beneath the Same Sky. It's about military families being separated. The link will be posted on the blog at frontlinesoffreedom.com. I encourage you to watch it and send in your comments. Our book giveaway this week is a copy of Eric Anderson's book on ISIS. It's called Osiris. To get in on the drawing, email me, Denny, at frontlinesoffreedom.com and put Osiris in the subject line. Next week on Frontlines of Freedom, retired Marine General Arnold Panaro will join us to discuss some of the major threats facing our nation. Then we'll talk Operation Pelican, which allowed Russian access to our nation's ports and has put our nation in real danger. And we'll talk self-defense with a retired Navy SEAL.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Frontlines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, Hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the front lines of freedom. Do join me next week for military and veteran information that you won't get anywhere else on the front lines of freedom. Dismissed. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I want to share about an incredible program available for our veterans across America who are suffering from PTS and traumatic brain injury. It's called After the Impact, and it serves our veterans and NFL football players. You know, it all started at the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and is now expanded to a new facility in Jacksonville, Florida. After the Impact provides real treatment and healing in a transitional residential setting. See more about their facilities for veterans and players at EisenhowerCenter.com.
Ah, springtime. More color, more light. Let the sun shine in and frame it beautifully with fresh new window coverings from Budget Blinds. We're your neighborhood experts, and we're backed by the number one provider of custom window coverings in North America. Only Budget Blinds gives you style and service for every budget. We do it all for you. Bring the showroom right to your home. Then expertly design, measure, install, and back it up with the best warranty in the business. This spring, the more you buy, the more you save. Up to 15% on select window coverings. Call your neighborhood experts and see for yourself. Call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS now for a free consultation right at home. Get savings up to 15%. Call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS or go online to budgetblinds.com. Let the sun shine in and frame it beautifully. Call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS now. Offer good on select products at participating independently owned and operated franchises only. Ask for details.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org. The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
Today at the White House, President Donald Trump held a press conference with the leaders of the Baltic states. Among the topics discussed was bringing our troops home from Syria. Take a listen to the president's response when asked if troops should be coming home soon.
I want to get out. I want to bring our troops back home. I want to start rebuilding our nation. We will have, as of 3 months ago, $7 trillion in the Middle East over the last 17 years. We get nothing, nothing out of it. Nothing.
And before that press conference, President Donald Trump also spoke about a military presence on our U.S.-Mexico border.
We are going to be doing some things. I've been speaking with General Mattis. We're going to be doing things militarily. Until we can have a wall and proper security, we're going to be guarding our border with the military. That's a big step. We really haven't done that before, or certainly not very much before.
This is USA Radio News.
Wayne Allen Root for Bullet Blocker. I love these guys. Sometimes you find a product and you go,
presidential poll showing Hillary Clinton leading Donald Trump 45-42.
USA Radio News.
If you have ever had an email account, shopped online, or used a credit card to make purchases, you are in dire jeopardy of identity theft. You must protect yourself now. Call our partner, ID Lion, at 1-800-941-6844 and sign up now for free. That's right, free. USA Radio Networks and ID Lion want everyone to have identity theft coverage. If you sign up now, we will give you a $50 gift card. Identity theft destroys credit and causes horrible issues for those that are hacked. Don't be a victim. Take advantage of this incredible free offer and sign up now. Call 1-800-941-6844. One out of every four Americans are going to have their identity stolen. Don't let it be you. It'll ruin your good credit score. Get protected and get your free